September. I'm going to start with myself, Dipuo Letsatsi Juba. I'm chairing the Portfolio Committee of Public Enterprise, and I would request my colleagues from my left to introduce themselves before the chairperson of the Transnet can do the same.
My name is Moses Trevi. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee from the Accenture Commons.
Good morning, Eric Bale, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Pumbile Vandam, member of the committee.
Naren Singh, member of this committee.
We have two members from the Portfolio Committee of Transport. They can also introduce themselves.
Good morning, Mr. Chairperson. My name is Tess Sibande, a whip of Transport Portfolio Committee.
Good morning. It's Amalan Muschero Mabeka, also a whip of the Committee of Transport.
Thank you very much. The Chairperson of Transport will also join us not long. Can we request colleagues from Transnet to do the introduction? I'm not sure who will start. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, honorable members. My name is Mafika Mkwanas. I'm non-executive chairman of Transnet. With me, I do have a few of my colleagues, non-executive directors, who play various roles. I'll start with Doris Sepe. Doris Sepe is chairman of Risk Committee, is a non-executive director. And also another non-executive director is Harry Hazendam. Harry is in the Remuneration and Social Ethics Committee, but also he is chairman of the two pension funds. And I will leave the intros there and hand over to Brian Molyneux, the Chief Executive of Transnet. Over to you, Brian.
Chairperson, members of the committee, we have brought virtually the entire executive because this is our first meeting with the committee. It looks like it's big, but the entire staff complement is 64,000, so this is not literally critical because of the 64,000 people. We have the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Anastin. The Group Executive Human Resources, Nonguru Association. The Group Executive Reserves Management Office, Ms. Raisibe Lipule. The Chief Audit Executive, Ms. Matabo Sugati. The Chief Executive Transnet Engineering, Mr. Richard Badehu. The Chief Executive Transnet Port Terminals, Mr. Carl Sutikwa. The Acting Chief Executive Transnet Freight Rail, Mr. Mlande Buthelezi. Mr. Dama, who is the Chief Executive, is in training overseas. The Chief Executive Transnet Capital Project, Herbert Sagala, the Chief Executive Transnet National Port Authority, Mr. Dal Moro, the Acting Group Executive Planning and Sustainability, Mr. Alexandra Naidu, the Group Executive Legal, Mr. Promoto Pichela, the Group Executive Commissioner, the Group Executive Legal, Mr. Mutua Silinga, the Group Executive Commissioner, Mr. Promoto Pichela, the Group Executive Transnet Property, Mr. Tavale Yelo. The Company Secretary, Ms. Ayanda Gela. The General Manager in the Office of the Group Chief Executive, Ms. Shulani Kalinge. The General Manager of Communications, Mr. Bonifacio Sponera. The Manager of Communications, Ms. Masiho Modisani. And Manager of Communications, Ms. Liwe Kalia.
Thank you very much. And we acknowledge the fact that the gender issues are being addressed at Transnet. And we want to congratulate you, though we haven't yet there. I think we can begin with our meeting now because we have done the introduction. Ma'am, you want to say something? Okay, thank you very much, and we have the apology of the Minister and the Deputy. As you know, Wednesdays are cabinet meetings, so we will always miss them, unless if there's an apology. Thank you very much. Let's also welcome the chairperson of Transport, Mary Kennedy Magazi, who is also joining us. You're welcome to join us. You can come and sit in front here. Okay, thank you. We now hand over to Transnet to give us a briefing in relation to the annual report and financial statement 2013-14 financial year. Chairperson, over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The report will be driven by Brian Molefe, also partly by the CFO, Anoch, but Brian will start with the high-level summary of the results. Over to you, Molefe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in the year that ended on the 31st of March 2014, the company's revenue increased by 12.8% to 56.6 billion. Earnings before interest, taxation, dividends, and amortization, EBITDA, increased by 12.3% to 23.6 billion. The profit for the year increased by 24.9% or 25% to 5.2 billion. The gearing was 35.9% and cash interest cover at 3.7 times. Capital investments increased by 15.6% to 31.8 billion rand. It was the first time that the company had invested in excess of 30 billion rand in 1 year on capital expenditure. Cash generated from operations after working capital changes increased by 11.6% to 25.3 billion. There was strong volume growth in the automotive and containers on rail, which increased by 25.2%, which confirms our strategy to migrate goods from road to rail, because these are mainly containers and cars that are being transported on the road. And triple B spend was 38.8 billion. Or 94.4% of total measured procurement spend as per the DTI codes. This is the next stage, is a summary of our income statement. As I said, profit for the year was 5.1 billion, which had increased from 4.1 billion in the previous year to 24.9%. The next slide shows, Chairperson, that over the last 5 years, revenue has grown at a compound annual growth rate of about 12.3%, and in the last year grew by about 12.8%, from 50.1 billion to 56.6 billion. This is a trend that has been established since around 2011-2012. Rail volumes increased by about 1.3%. We had some setbacks that I will talk to later in the presentation in terms of the different categories of volumes. But total volumes carried on rail increased from 207.7 million tons to 210.4 million tons in the year under review. Transnet freight rail contributed about 50% of our revenues, and port containers grew by about 5.4% from 4.4 million containers to 4.6 million containers. Operating expenses increased from 29 billion to 32 billion, but this was about, it was lower than budgeted expenditures for the year as a result of cost reduction initiatives which were implemented by the company during the year in response to uncertain economic environment. They resulted in savings of 2.1 billion against planned costs. Expenses increased by 13.1% to 33 billion. And this was mainly due to increases in energy costs of 10.3% due to higher electricity tariffs, as well as fuel price increases impacted by foreign exchange volatility. We are a huge consumer of electricity, Chairperson, as a result of our locomotives that use electricity. Increase in personnel costs of 14.6% to 16.6 billion due to an average wage increase across the country. to EBITDA was made mainly by transfer freight rate, 64%, followed by Transnet and National Ports Authority, 25% of our EBITDA. And as I said earlier, EBITDA increased from 21 billion to 23 billion, an increase of about 12.3% in the year under review. Depreciation, recognition and amortization, net finance, net cost, taxation and profit for the year. Depreciation, derecognition and amortization increased from 9.2 billion to 10.7 billion, an increase of 15.7%, mainly as a result of capital investment, as well as the depreciation of the value support facilities and pipelines. This trend is expected to continue in line with the execution of our 300 billion capital investment program. As I said earlier, we invested about 50 billion in assets, and so these assets increase our depreciation expense. Net finance costs increased by 8% from 5.1 billion to 5.5 billion. And this is in line with higher borrowing as a result of the capital investment program. Taxation up 3.3% from 902 billion to 1.964 billion. And profit for the year increased by about 1 billion from 4.1 billion to 5.1 billion. And this is the bottom line profit, an increase of 25%. The abridged statement of financial position, which is called the balance sheet, will show that with our property, plant and equipment increased from 176 billion to 207 billion. That is in line with the capital investment program that has been made, and our total assets increased from 203 billion to 240 billion during the year. You will see also that our non-current liabilities increased, but I will come back to this later, which is long-term borrowings. The next slide shows here that the growth in property, plant and equipment was not just revaluations. You will see that we started with a balance of 176 billion and that the additions to property, plant and equipment were about 21.7 billion, which is in line with our capital investment program. And so our property, plant and equipment, after additions, revaluations, depreciation, borrowing costs and others, or capitalized borrowing costs and others, ended up at 207 billion. Return on total average assets declined slightly from 7.7% to 6.5%. Chair, the return on total assets is a ratio that has the profitability on top and the total assets at the bottom. If you're increasing the denominator, the ratio will naturally decline, which is the reason why we have a marginal decline in return on total assets. At the moment, the company's primary strategy is to make capital investments for the future. Our total borrowings increased from 73 billion to 90 billion, an increase of 23.7 billion. We raised 22.4 billion for the year and repaid borrowings of 8 billion. The 23.7% increase was in line with our funding plan and did not pass the gearing ratios. Our gearing was at 44.6 in the previous year, and it ended at 45.9%, comfortably below the 50% target that we have as a company. It was, however, an increase of about 1.3%, and that was also expected as a result of the higher borrowings. The cash flow statement and funding will show that we started the year with 2.5 billion rand in the bank, in the kitty, and we got 18.7 billion from operating activities. We borrowed cash flows from financing activities, net cash flows from financing activities after repaying debt, 14.3 billion, and we utilized 32 billion to invest in the capital expenditure. This resulted in a net increase in cash and cash equivalents of 1 billion, and we ended the year with 3.6 billion rand in the bank. Cash interest cover comfortably above the target level of 3 times at 3.7 times and remains unchanged from the previous year. The sources of funding, we got 9.9 billion for the Global Medium-Term Loan Program, Development Finance Institutions and ECAs, that is foreign borrowings of 9.9 billion, domestic bonds and commercial paper. You will remember, Chairperson, that we issue transfer bonds every fortnight, about 250 million, between 200 and 250 million by auction on the South African domestic capital market. So we issued 8.5 billion and call those of about 4 billion. And that is what makes up the 22.4 billion before the repayment of debt. Capital investment analysis, Chairperson, you'll see that in 2010 our capital investment was 18.4 billion, which increased to 21, 22, 27, and this year it was 31.8 billion, and it increased to about 15.6%. 77% of the capital expenditure during the year was on rail, and rail maintenance, CAPEX, as well as new expansion CAPEX. And in rail, 65% of the capital expenditure was specifically on general freight business, which is containers, agriculture, and other freight, other than coal and iron ore. 18.5 billion was replacement capital, and 13.3 billion expansion capital, or 58-42 split. Major capital deliveries during the year: we received 43 diesel locomotives, brand new diesel locomotives. We also bought 32 electric locomotives were delivered, and we have a program where we just bought 95 electric locomotives that are being manufactured at our facility in Pretoria. 9 of the 95 are already in, were already in operation at the end of the financial year. By now, there's more that are in operation, I think close to 16 that are in operation. We received 3,281 wagons, and in rail, we put in 133 tenants, 220 universal sleepers. We screened 576 kilometers of rail. We put in concrete sleepers, because we're replacing the wooden sleepers with concrete sleepers, 314,593 concrete sleepers were put into our rail network, replacing the wooden sleepers. The other capital expenditure items were mobile harbor cranes for Devon, East London, and Cape Town, 9 mobile harbor cranes were bought, the dredging carriers, 13 haulers and trailers for the ports, 160 haulers and trailers, tandem lift ship-to-shore cranes for Devon container terminal. These are the ship-to-shore cranes that can carry up to 4 boxes at a time. 7 of them were deployed at the port of Devon, which made the port of Devon during the financial year a construction site. And I will show you the impact of that later in the presentation. Empty container handlers for Mocha and Cape Town, 9. Expectors for Mocha, 10. Twin lift ship-to-shore cranes for Cape Town and Mocha container terminal, 4. 2 for Cape Town, 2 for Mocha. And ship loaders and unloaders at Richards Bay, 2. 34 lifts for Richards Bay. The pipeline is the NLPP trunk line. The trunk line is in the ground, 100% complete and fully operational with product in time. We, at the end of the financial year, the coastal terminal, which is just the building bridge at the end of the pipeline at the coast, and the building at the end of the pipeline inland. So the coastal and inland terminal were 83% and 79% complete. So it's just the terminals that needed to be completed, but the pipeline itself is in the ground with liquid. 1,064 locomotives announced the transaction early in the year, and this is how the locomotives will be delivered. From the program of the 95 electric locomotives, 86 will be delivered during this financial year, which ends in March 2015. 60 diesel locomotives will also be delivered during this year. 17 locomotives from the program to buy 100 locomotives will also be delivered during this year. The 1,054 locomotives will be delivered in 2016, 17 and 18, 148 in 16, 492 in 17, 424 in 18. By year 2019, Chairperson, we are happy to announce that our fleet will, for all intents and purposes, have been revitalized. Over the market demand strategy period up to 2021, we will build and buy from ourselves about 22,000 wagons. If I can go to operations, Chairperson, export coal. During the year, we carried 68.2 million tons of coal on rail, which was 1% lower than the previous year. Chair, we could have carried more, but we had problems at RDCT, where they did not have electricity for a period of about 2 weeks. And that resulted in the coal mine being shut for about 2 weeks. We ran about 37 trains on the coal mine to Richards Bay. Now, to stop and start an operation of 37 trains per day, which is about just about one and a half trains every hour, took time to get the rhythm again, and then the result had been lost volumes. But we also had industrial strikes on the coal line, unrecognized union that is beginning to organize, and Transnet went on a wildcat strike. Oh, sorry, it was a recognized strike, but from an unrecognized union. And also the price of coal has been coming down quite radically, came down quite radically during the year, resulting in suppliers also holding back coal. So we did 1% less than what we did in the previous year on coal. But the good news is that our on-time departures on the coal line improved by 79%, and our on-time arrivals improved by 60%. We also introduced what we call the Shongololo train, which has contributed to efficiencies on the coal line. On the iron ore line, we did 3% less than the previous year, due to also the price of iron ore coming down in the global global market. But most importantly, the main customer, Kumba, had production problems during the year, and they cancelled trains, a lot of trains. Fortunately, we have take-or-pay agreement, which resulted in them paying us for the trains, even though we were not carrying any product. So we could have, the trains were available to carry products, but the customers were not ready, and we have take-or-pay claims against them. I think in the revenue numbers, there is about 300 million from take-or-pay that we were paid for trains that were available, customers that were not ready. Productivity and efficiency also improved on the export iron ore line. On-time departures improved by about 88%, and the on-time arrivals by about 8%. General freight business, Chair, we had a 6% growth in general freight business. As I said, the container and automotive business did very well, which is about 25% growth. The other businesses, mineral, mining, and chrome business, and steel cement business also registered growth. But we had growth from 82 million tons to 87 million tons on the general freight business. The productivity productivity and efficiency indicators there also improved, with on-time departures improving by 24% and on-time arrivals improving by about 4%. In the ports, as I said earlier, we had 5% increase in the volumes through our ports, from 4.4 million containers to 4.6 million containers. And you will see that in Devon, the ship turnaround time, so this is the time from when a vessel arrives in our port, and then it is turned around. So after we wrap it, it turns around and continues on its journey. So that is a productivity measure that we use to try and minimize the amount of time that vessels spend in South Africa. The ship turnaround time in Devon increased by about 9% from 53 hours to 58. And that was mainly as a result of what I said earlier, that Devon was a construction site because we were installing the seven big cranes. So we had to remove the old cranes and put in the new ones. They needed new rails, they needed new electricity connections and cabling. And so Devon was a construction site. We also did with the deepening of some of the dams and strengthening of the key walls in Devon, which is, makes it a construction site. But the ship turnaround in Cape Town improved by 34%, and the ship turnaround time in Richards Bay also improved by a compound improvement for 16% over the last 4 years. On the pipeline, we carry 16.6 billion liters of volume on the pipeline, up from 16.9 in the previous year, as a result of improved throughput of refined products, but this was offset by subdued economic demand, domestic demand, and lower production at Natref. Natref is our main customer on the pipeline where the crude oil is refined. Capacity utilization was the same as last year at 0%, but our operating cost per million liter kilometer, so nominal rent per million liter kilometer, increased from 89 to 99 rand, which is an increase of about 11%. This was mainly due to inflationary pressures. Safety chair, we are happy to report that our disabling injury frequency rate improved from 0.74 to 0.69 in the previous year, during the year under review. This is very good by international standards, and it is the third consecutive year that the company recorded a DIFR of below 0.75%. 0.75, which is our target to the shareholder, just to focus on the investment phase. Chair, employee fatalities. Unfortunately, last year we lost 7 employees during operations at work. And for us, they are not a number, and so I will mention their names. Ms. Ayanda Dlamini, who was a yard official in Trichardt, Mr. Musongo Dlamini, who was a casual employee working at Devon Container Terminal, Mr. Daniel Mutari Matidiso, who was a trainee traction linesman, Ms. Promise Fikile Kiele, who was a driver, a hauler driver in the port, hauler went into the sea and under a vessel and she drowned. Mr. Zulisi Namu was a senior technical worker, Transport Engineering. Mr. Philemon Madau, who was an examiner. Mr. Cecil Johannes Denzel, who was a train driver, who was
Hoffman, and Mr. R. Kwamandla. This is during this financial year since March, and we have learned yesterday. We have learned yesterday that we left another employee last semester, so we're going to talk about it.
Thank you, GCD. Chair, tragically, yesterday in Richards Bay, we received word that at the terminal there, one of our colleagues, a technical supervisor, had fallen into the conveyor belt system at the terminal and was fatally injured as a result of the fall. We've launched an investigation into the matter. The emergency services were apparently on site at the moment, performing a drill on site, so they were able to deploy quite speedily to attend to the matter. And we also launched what we call a board of inquiry to establish exactly how it is that Mr. Kwasikwenkosi Mabuza fell into the conveyor belting system, but he regrettably suffered fatal injuries as a result of that fall.
Chair, from our human resources side, we have a representative workforce. 81% of our employees are black. This is up from 75% in the previous year. The challenge that we have is the people with disabilities, which has dropped about 1.4%. It is a matter that is receiving attention at Transnet, and we would like to increase the number of people with disabilities that are working at the company. In terms of skills development, capacity building, and job creation, Chair, we estimate that we created in excess of 17,000 as a result of our activities economy-wide in the South African economy. Our training spend was 621 million. Engineering trainees, we trained 138 engineering trainees. Technician trainees, 339 were trained at Transnet, and artisans, 1,552 artisans were trained during the year. Our target was 1,550, and I think the group HR thought it would look good if we trained an additional two. And sector-specific trainees, 2,295 were trained. In terms of our CSI programs, Chair, we have invested 72.3 million in primary healthcare initiatives, impacting 252,560 patients, mainly through the Pilotepa train, which is a hospital on wheels that goes to the rural areas and provides services, dental care, HIV testing, eye care, and diabetes counseling, high blood pressure, and so on. We also have a teenage health program which reached 8,000 girls during 2014. In terms of this program, Transnet provides sanitary pads to teenage girls in the rural areas. During 2014, we reached 8,000 girls in the rural areas. We have a youth development education program which targets vulnerable orphan youth. And I think during last year we had about 20 orphans that were being sponsored by Transnet, taken out of orphanages
excellence, which has produced some of the Bafana Bafana players, where we take young potential soccer players, take them to a school of excellence at Transnet in Kempton Park, had a pass rate of 87%, and we invested 18.6 million in various sports disciplines in 290 schools countrywide. Our volunteer program expanded to DR and the West Coast. In fact, at Transnet, we have a project to revitalize DR as a major railway town to what it was in the 70s and the 80s. But we also have a very active CSI project there in support of the youth and the community development. 20.9 million was invested in employee volunteer villages in the current year. What happens with the EVP program is that Transnet employees contribute their labor and time to build community centers, schools, paint schools, and so on and so forth. And the container assistance program, we have assisted the SAPS to conduct rail safety awareness programs, but we have given the SAPS containers for offices and police stations. 7.4 million was invested in the year. And in the heritage preservation, we invested 3.9 million in heritage sites for refurbishment. Triple D is spent, as I said earlier, up 6.8% from the previous year, 7.8% growth over the last 5 years, compounded annual growth. Supplier development, total contract value up 72% of supplier development. Committed CSDP obligations up 61.1% to 10.9 billion. And actual CSDP obligations delivered were up 46.9%. Enterprise development bank points, our enterprise development points stand at 50. Which just meets our target. Chair, during the year, we consumed 0.2% less electricity than the previous year. This is as a result of the new generation locomotives that we're introducing, as well as electricity consumption measures. It looks like a very small number, 0.2% of our previous year's consumption, but it is quite big given the size of our electricity needs. We have also started a project that I think I spoke about in this community previously of regenerating electricity through the locomotives when they break. So each time a locomotive reduces speed, it regenerates electricity that we put back into the grid. We are now able to regenerate, to calculate how much our locomotives generate electricity, and last year we regenerated about 176,000 megawatt hours of electricity that we put back into the grid. The challenge now is that some of that, in fact most of it, was lost because it has to be used instantaneously. We have a group of young people at the Transnet Innovation Center, Research and Development Innovation Center, who are working out how we can capture this electricity so that it can be usable by a town that is nearby or by us, so that we can reduce further the consumption of electricity that we get from Eskom. Our carbon emissions were down 0.9%. We started the program to measure our carbon emissions as Transnet and to calculate our carbon emissions. And between 2013 and 2014, our carbon emissions were down by 0.9%. Chair, in the previous years, we reported irregular expenditure that was reportable. Irregular expenditure that was general control environment is generally satisfactory with three issues requiring improvement on the operations of government and the operations, human resource operations, as well as methods and practices. In conclusion, Chairperson, we have had another successful year of the implementation of our market demand strategy, which is a 300 billion capital investment over 7 years. We are confident that the strategic objectives of the market demand strategy remain appropriate and relevant in the context of the South African economy, and we will continue to prioritize operational efficiencies and volume growth in our implementation of the market demand strategy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Group CEO. Chairperson, we would like to make some additions.
Madam Chair, no, thank you. I'll make comments based on the questions that we will pick up.
Okay. Honourable members and colleagues, that's the presentation from Transnet. I think we can start interacting with it. Issues of clarity, inputs, and yes. Honourable Michael, will be followed by Honourable Van Dam, followed by Honourable Marie, and Honourable Teddy.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Also, thank you for Transnet for the presentation. Chair, just a few questions. I'm interested about the Durban Harbour and the fact that it was a construction site for some time. Obviously, we know that to expand, we need to, unfortunately, have times when we will be in a construction site scenario. But about 3 weeks ago, I was contacted by a group of importers who were telling me that the queue for trucks just to get into the Durban Harbour was, at its worst, 3 kilometres down the road. And that the situation was absolutely chaotic. And that's obviously very worrying because, you know, if trucks can't come in, things can't get offloaded. So I understand that there was a problem. Has that problem now been resolved? And going forward, you know, what kind of steps are we putting in place to make sure that even if we do have issues of construction, that we don't have this kind of backlog? Because, I mean, what comes into Durban Harbour is worth millions and millions of rand. I mean, I don't need to tell you, you know this. So just an update on that, please. And then with regards to the locomotives that are being built in the Pretoria area, obviously we want as much locally lacquer. So we want as many things done locally as possible. But there was a lot of controversy regarding the purchasing of the Chinese locomotives, specifically because these locomotives had been purchased by a company in Namibia. And these locomotives have not been up to par in Namibia, and yet we followed suit and bought very similar locomotives. Now, obviously, this is stuff that is reported in the press. So, can we just have some clarity as to where we stand on that and regards the quality? Because, you know, we need to know because we need to be secure in our knowledge of Transnet buying the best for our country. Then, I just want to say the project that you're doing for the orphans and for the sports dogs. These are great projects, and they are commendable. There's one problem, though. South Africa doesn't know that you're doing this. So you always hear things that are bad, but you never hear things that are good. So promote yourselves when you do something like this. Show up to the country and show them what you're doing right. Because it's so important, these kinds of projects, and these are such proudly South African projects that South Africans would like to hear. There's so much bad news all the time. Give us some good news. And promote yourself when you do something as good as this, because it's an excellent, excellent initiative. I have no idea that we were producing Bafana players. That's outstanding. And that's the kind of thing that state-owned entities should be doing when they give back to our communities. But then let people know. Show off a little bit. And then finally, you know I'm going to ask, can we have an update on what the pension scenario is? Because, you know, it's really, it's getting to the point now where there are so many conflicting reports. that it's very difficult to be able to tell where you stand on the matter. So if you could have an update on that, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I must also echo my colleague and compliment you on the great CSI project that you are doing. It's really great to see Transnet taking care of the vulnerable in our society. My question relates to, you mentioned something about a recognized union. I'd just like a bit more information about that. What is the union called? How big are they? Etc. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Since we have the ExCom members here for capital projects sitting over there and the person for ports here, I would like to give us an update on the capital expansion projects within the Saldanha Bay Harbour. And can they also please highlight this long-term vision, the planning with the old airport piece of land in Durban, please?
Let me start by commending you for the unqualified audit of you. And I'm here with the measures that you are putting in place to address the only matter of emphasis, which is irregular and fraudulent and wasteful expenditure as a plan. But secondly, I'm also happy about the fact that you have indicated that female representation is growing in cities. But I'm most interested at the level of the Secretary just to share with the committee where are we exactly in terms of the gender balance. As you have indicated that you don't seem to be doing quite well with regard to people with disabilities. I'm most interested in measures that we are putting in a plan that we are putting in place to deal with that particular issue, representation of people with disabilities, especially at the representative level. I'm also concerned seriously about the impact of the higher borrowings as indicated earlier on in your presentation, especially on the impact it will have on the performance of the company going forward and the sustainability of the company in that respect. Also, the issue of the strike earlier on, you also spoke about the three-day unprotected strike, also picking it up as well. I'm interested in the impact of the strike in listening to the performance and the mitigation factors that the company is putting in place to deal with that particular issue to ensure that it does not happen anytime soon. And lastly, is the decline by over 70% of the grass. To me, it's also a worrying effect. What caused that particular situation? And what is it that we're doing to address that particular aspect? As I've indicated, it's over 70% of decline, if I'm not mistaken, from the presentation that you have just presented. Thanks, Ed.
Honourable Sibanda and Honourable Mabika, then they will be followed by Honourable Ranto.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, you forgive me because maybe I'm a slow learner, but I wanted to commend the department at least from the outlook on some of the questions they got in terms of gender. They've managed to solve the problem of Kobo, Congress of Boys Only. At least I'll give them a credit from the outlook. Then I'll come to this. In terms of the Auditor General, I'll be
very much impressed if you can give us what was the outcome. Because one of the things he raised is about the issue of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Then also, if you can take us on board that in a lot of things which were raised by the report of the Auditor General, how far you? Are you complying what is happening? Because I thought that in some of which your reports are going to cover that. And also, check and say, you know, this department, this entity is dealing with huge monies. Do you have a risk management? And if you do have, who constitutes it? Because it doesn't have to work about much money while you don't have any risk management. And then Chairperson, if they can take us on board, what is your relationship with PRASA? How often are you interacting? Because we are sharing one thing, which is railway, both of you. And you see, Chairperson, which is worrying me, in one of the pages somewhere, the presenter was presenting about the issue of, I think it's, what is it? On page 13, I'm not sure what it's page, about the issue of this rain. Things where my concern is that, let us be practical, some of our railways are aging, very old. And then here you were reporting about the thing which you are busy with in terms of refurbishment, in terms of infrastructure. But you don't give us the percentage, roughly, about the railway which was vandalized. I'll put an example. I can take you now between Benoni and Actonville. There's no railway there. And also between Bethal and Mohosun, I can name that. There's no railway. It was vandalized. Because we must have the approach. How do we take away, like, the freight train? I mean, heavy duty. How do we attract them to come back to us? Because it can give resources to railway. As long as you don't have those railway lines, people will go away to trucks. That's why you are experiencing problem. The last one, Chairperson, I've got a lot, but I'll stop there. But the last one is this, if you can take us on board. You see, we are talking about social responsibility in terms of any company or in particular government, if you say, how do you solve the issue of Northern Cape? Because in the railway line was so big in Northern Cape, now it's dead because there's nothing from Transnet. And some of you are building, are dilapidating, are going down. And some of you are building shame and disgrace, if you can assist us. And then the last one, last but not least, there was an allegation some time ago about, it's an allegation, underline, about one of your pension funds, which there was people who were taking you in court, taking Transnet in court for owing them more than 85 billion rands for each of the pension funds, because they are saying historically, the South African Transport Services became a Transnet in April 1990. And you, the government, take a commitment that they are going to take over about their pensions. So what happened? What is happening? Why they are so targeting so much money while you are there? I will put the Liberal come for the second bite. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, thank you. My first question is on the issue of the acquisition of the locomotives. As I look here, I can see that you are purchasing the diesel locomotives and as well as the electric ones. One is not sure as to why do you use both diesel and electric. In strict way will make it maybe easier for, because I think when you started with diesel, you went for electric, but I can see that you are continuing with the diesel one. And it doesn't look like there are plans to do away with the diesel, because you can see that there are plans to purchase more and more. And on the issue of the fatalities, one would want to know if you have got plans that will bring the number of the fatalities to zero, or it's a thing that you cannot do away with. But what plans and measures do you intend taking to ensure that we don't count these numbers? And lastly, Chairperson, on the question of the youth development education program, I just want to know as to how do you make this program known, especially to the poor rural people. Is it marketed well so that everybody can be in a position to access it, no matter where the person comes from? Thank you.
Honourable Ranta.
Thanks, Chair, and good morning to everybody. My apologies for arriving late in the meeting. Chair, my first question might be related to the last speaker's question on the outreach program that Transnet is having. As much as Transnet has got programs that are beautiful, how do you get to, how do people that are as far as KwaNomlengan in Sterk Springs, how would they know about your program? Because the area is definitely end at KwaNomlengan before you get to the city. And there are children there. There's a youth there. There's a technical college in Springs. How do you interact with technical colleges? And so as to find youth out of those colleges that can be available for your program, or where you can market your program ahead. Do you have a program that is linked to technical colleges? And how do you interact with those? I've got one in Alwal North where I stay, a technical college. How do you interact with people in those areas? The other question, Chairperson, is, does Transnet have an extension program on your health program, like the one of Pelopec? Do you have a plan to extend that program so as it to be accessible to even to people that are in the most rural areas? Do you have a bus that is transported? Because I know Pelopec is that there is a train in Mthatha that always stations there and people will go there. But do you have a program of buses that can bus people from the far areas of Mthatha, bring them to where the services are? And the last question is on your plan to address the issue of the independent auditor findings on expenditure management, internal control, financial and performance management. In those investigations that are taking place, do you have a plan to that you are working on so as to not to have anything that will be raised by any auditor, whether independent or not independent, that you know that you've got a clean slate that you are working on? Thanks, Chair.
We will now take Honourable Ramatakane.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The Chair, just aware of a small question, a follow-up question. And I must say up front that I may have not read the 5-year strategic plan. Maybe this question is addressed in the 5-year strategic plan. But I'm just trying to ask this question, if you can just help me to understand. The kind of NDP outlook, which is 2030, and the outlook of Transnet into 2030 outlook, what is it if you're looking at the whole debate that is taking place around the regional integration, big issue, regional integration in number of areas, whether it's in the infrastructure development, in the front of connecting cities, because of your also strategic location insofar as rail lines concerned. So I just want to understand that. I mean, there is the continental debate around integration. Now I just want to understand that. The second one, Chair, is you're as a consumer of energy. I can see here the diesel and the electricity. But I'm just trying to find out whether are you exploring other sources of energy in order to release the fairly demand electricity? If you are or you haven't, maybe you can just share light into that. Thirdly, a small question. I was just curious on the 25 million report of the regular expenditure, that the reportable one. I was just curious to ask the question, how many of the 23 million, if you talk 25 million, it gives me there's a curiosity around just a fraction below the 25, or what is it that you can tell us about, because the magnitude of it, or accumulative magnitude, may be a little bit more than that. And then, Chair, the last one, collaborative question between Transnet, maybe transport, insofar as the transport focus concern. I just want to find out whether there is I know my colleague asked a question about interaction, but I want to ask the SLA existence. And is the SLA existence between the two around the public transport, including investment? Where are those collaborative investment efforts that it's already in the pipeline, in the outlook forward as Transnet? And then, Chair, maybe let me leave it there.
Thank you very much. Let's now give the chairperson of transport to make an input or raise question.
Thank you very much, Chef. I just want to thank you for inviting us so that we can be part of this discussion that we are going on, because I think it's very critical that there must be collaboration, synergy in what particularly PRASA and the Department of Transport is doing together with Transnet. I assume that there is transport and freight logistics strategy from Transnet, like my colleague has indicated, that we did not go into a situation of just going intensely into the strategic plan of Transnet, and assuming that the logistics strategy is there, probably would really want to interact with yourself so that we are also able to work together, because these are some of the challenges that
country because of the massive trade that is going through our homes. Lastly, I would want to say that he having spoken to the National Development Plan, the president was in KZN some few weeks ago, launching the Patisa project, which I believe is a kind of a holistic project to push job creation, the green economy, as we have spoken eloquently to your greenhouse emission program. Is there a way that, as you are working in the port, dealing with the trade, that issues, marine issues, and how we are able to work from the Department of Transport, that we can be able to tap from some of the resources that you are having already? I really was elated to see how we are dealing with the emissions of gas, which actually are some of the things which, when we look at what some of the things that will be happening with the question of Pakistan, we'll be dealing with. So these are some of the things, but I think critical for us to be here is to say there is commonality between some of the things that the Department of Transport is doing with what the public enterprises are doing. Can we see, can we feel, can we in action have a situation where all these entities are working towards moving South Africa forward, which actually will be able to speed up so that there is no duplication of some of the activities which are happening, if that can be able to be elaborated. I've got the CEO, Chairperson of Brasa right here, because I think he is the one who actually, part of the other things that we're talking to, which actually we would want to see rail going into the rural villages, which we believe you will be able to be so helpful that our people can be able to use a railway, as in whether it's your Shosholoza Main or whatever that Brasa has, but we rely on your trucks, which somebody has already indicated that most of the trucks are really they have been they are wasted in a way. How can we work with you so that we're able to push some of these programs into what? Just collaboration and making sure that we really work towards that alignment of our activities. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I also have two questions to ask from Transnet. On slide number 11, there's an indication of the ratings here. I don't know which one should we use, is it the Standard and Poor or the other one with M? And if it's a stable outlook and the other one is negative outlook, which one are we measured upon? And also, what will be the impact in terms of the borrowing of this rating? The last question is in relation to your RNG. Your RNG, I didn't see, subject to corrections because we are still new, but we will assume that Transnet, in order to fulfill its developmental agenda as outlined by the NDP, will be able to put much emphasis in relation to skills development and the research and development. So in your budget and your spending, I don't see this being as one of the priorities, if we can be satisfied on that one. Thanks, Chairperson. Now we'll allow the Transnet colleagues to respond to questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. On the 3-kilometer long queue at Devon, I'm not sure if it was just that one day or it was
something that happens every day, but I would ask Mr. Kant to so keep on so.
Thank you, GC. Thank you, Chairman. Just on this specific issue, Honourable Member, you know, at the various terminals, we rely on telecommunications networks, IT systems, and processes to enable us to be able to plan better, to ensure, you know, a seamless movement of trucks, of cargo through the terminals. On this specific issue, which really relates to our container terminals, we rely quite extensively on the telecommunications network services provided by Neotel, and on top of that sits an IT system that helps with the planning in terms of the operations in the terminal itself. We have, in recent weeks, experienced what they call flattening of the network, the Neotel network, which in turn then results in outages of the IT system, which brings down the system and then has an impact in terms of the seamless flow of volumes through the terminal. The knock-on effect of the flattening of the telecoms network is that once the IT system comes down, it takes roughly 25 minutes to bring it back up again. And that in turn will have an impact in terms of the movement of trucks through the terminal. When the systems are working, the system works very well. It's a very robust truck booking system, and on this Bayhead Road, as they call it, at the Durban terminal, in fact, we've been able through the seamless operation of that system. I've been able to see an absence of congestion on that road. But with problems that Neotel has been experiencing with their system, this is then what's had the knock-on effect in terms of the congestion there. What we have done is, because there's a body called SASOA, which is the South African Shipping Association and Cargo Owners Association, is to sit down with them to start to discuss and plan collaboratively in terms of when these sort of outages take place, you know, what then do we do? Because, for example, in this instance, when the system goes down and the trucking companies are then not receiving the truck booking information from the port, they then send their trucks anyway, which is what ultimately leads to the congestion. So what we're saying is that when they're not getting the information, what measures will we then put in place to ensure that whether it's manual communication or whatever the case might be, so that we avoid the congestion. In parallel to that, Neotel have committed to give us a number of different options in terms of the redundancy. In the event that the system does go down, what sort of redundancy are they going to put in place? And we will be signing an SLA with them to make sure that that redundancy is there and we're able to ensure and guarantee some level of integrity in the system. But we are addressing, I think your follow-up question was, is this being addressed? We are addressing it collaboratively now with all of the players.
Chairperson, on the locomotives that were bought in China and that did not function in Namibia, there was a newspaper article in the Namibia where it was alleged that the locomotives that the Namibian Railways Company bought from China were not working properly. The CEO of the Namibian Railways Company in Namibia denied this, but nevertheless, Namibia does not have electric locomotives, they only have diesel locomotives. And when this issue came up, it came up when we had bought electric and not diesel locomotives from China. And so we tried very hard to point out that the Namibian locomotives were diesel and not electric, and that we had bought electric locomotives, and that our engineers had gone there and we had seen the production of those locomotives. We found nothing untoward. We bought 95 locomotives. They did the prototype in terms of our specifications. passed all tests in flying colors. 10 locomotives were manufactured in China and brought to South Africa. They were tested in South Africa and are now in operation without problems. In fact, the first day that the first trip that those locomotives, one of the locomotives from China made, was from Sishen to Port Elizabeth. And when the locomotive arrived in Port Elizabeth, I personally got an SMS from the driver who said it had exceeded his expectations. So we do not have problems with the locomotives that were bought in China. In fact, I think that the press was a bit enthusiastic with scant regard for the fact. In terms of the pension matter, not the matter is before the court, but in the last probably legal. The matter, I think, is an appeal in the class action.
Thank you, Chair. And honourable members, honourable members have asked for an update on the pension fund issue or what has now become known in class action. It is true that Transnet became the successor to the South African Transport Services from 1990. And as a result of that, the obligation that the South African Transport Services had towards the pensioners were then transferred to Transnet. One of those obligations was to pay the mega debt to Transnet Pension Fund and Transnet Security Fund and its fund when that debt accrued or when that debt arises. Now, what is before court is an application by two pensioners or ex-employees of Transnet who are now members of the Transnet Security Defined Benefit Fund and the Transnet Pension Fund. They are seeking leave to court to constitute a class and represent about 65,000 ex-Transnet employees or pensioners, and that they themselves be appointed as the representative of that class. And that is why we call it a class action. Now, the claim that they intend prosecuting against Transnet is based on their interpretation of Section 16 of the Labour Protection Act. The Labour Protection Act being the act in terms of which Transnet was established. In that Labour Protection Act, it is said that Transnet will, when the funds get into deficit, be the guarantor that they will inject funds. So to put the two funds into a surplus. That has not happened as yet. Actually, we can safely say that both funds are in a surplus as we speak. But then the application is based on the misinterpretation of what a legacy debt is. And according to the application, the legacy debt for them is a debt that is due or overdue since the Labour Protection Act in 1990. Which I think it is not a debt, an actual debt as in rent and cent, but it's a commitment or a guarantor by Transnet that once the funds get into a deficit, then Transnet will have to come in. And if Transnet pays for that matter, it says the National Treasury will come in as the guarantor for Transnet. So that has not happened at this stage. That is why we are saying this is based on the misinterpretation of the law. The matter then went before court on the 21st and 22nd of July. Not on the merit of whether Transnet owes or does not owe the two funds, but only on the certification of the class, meaning the applicant, two applicants, seek the certification of the class. And if you want to certify a class, there are things that in law you need to prove. One of them must prove that there are tribal issues, meaning there are issues of law that Transnet has to answer before court. That is why they said you have to file your draft particulars of claim. If you are granted this application, what are you going to allege that you started before court? And we are saying, since there's nothing like a legacy debt which is in cash form, therefore they are not trying the issues that are before court. And the judge then granted the order that they can issue the class action. We believe, based on advice from senior counsel and also
to make a follow-up?
No, 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 I don't want to make a follow-up, Chairperson. I am very much concerned about the information that we have now got from the case with Transnet is subjudicial. There are issues that we were not supposed to hear. Now he is explaining everything to us, and he is not sure of what we are going to take of that information that he is giving us and make and use it somewhere. You see, there are things that are very much sensitive that he is raising, which I think were not necessary for him. He should have just explained what is happening, just generally explained on what is happening. Now he is outlining everything in the judge's decisions and everything, which I think those are sensitive issues. We should take care or be careful on those issues. Thank you.
Thanks, the concern is noted. I think they will have a way of handling it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. But in short, you are saying whatever should be said about Opal and just for the transfer committee. The unrecognized union of the code line was the NTM. The National Transport Movement, which is a new union, an offshoot of disgruntled members from SATAO, and they had a strike with very few members on the coal line, which disrupted some disruption on the coal line. It was not the only action that was not recognized. We also had a strike by NUMSA, which is not a recognized trade union and Transnet, at the port of Doha, which was eventually declared unprotected by the court, and the workers have all gone back to work. But nevertheless, the NUMSA strike, in fact, the NUMSA strike was the ugliest, because in the process, 32 houses of Transnet employees that were not on strike were patrolled. The old airport is currently being used as a school of maritime, but as we know, we are planning to build a big airport there. We are in FEL2, which is a front end loading study, the feasibility study for the big airport, as well as dealing with environmental issues. And we hope to finish phase one of the new big airport by 2023. Female representation in EXCO at the end of the year was 50% in EXCO. Since the end of the year, it has somewhat deteriorated with one or two members having left EXCO, but it is something that we strive towards, 50%, maintaining it at least 50% representation of women. The higher borrowings, we are not concerned about them, because the borrowings should be looked at in line with the assets that we have. And at the present moment, the gearing is 47%. So what we have borrowed is about 47% of our asset value in Transnet. And so by no stretch of imagination, it is cumbersome. So as long as we are using the new assets to get more revenue, as well as long as we're using the assets to, we're using the borrowings to buy assets, there should not be a problem from the balance sheet point of view. The rating agencies have looked at our strategies and are not concerned about the current level of borrowing. So we can assure members that our level of borrowings is no issue for concern at the moment. The decrease in the number of coaches allocated by Transa, Mr. Montana is here. There was also a question as to whether we talk to Transa. We talk all the time with Transa. fight, we owe each other money, and we have a very healthy relationship. But Mr. Montana will report that we've just written off 400 million rand that we said he was owing, that he said he was not owing, but in the interest of cooperative governance, we decided to move forward. This was legacy debt from the past where the Transnet was separated, or PASA was separated from Transnet. We have continued to have cordial relationships. But PASA has just announced a big deal for the building of coaches, which is probably why you saw a reduction in the number of coaches that came from PASA to Transnet in the air. Because they have a program to revitalize their fleet as well. Fruitless expenditure in terms of the Auditor General, I think we can deal with. There was also a later question about how much is just below the 25 million and allowed to see a CFO to deliver.
Thank you, Brian, and good morning, committee members, honorable members. From a perspective, Brian had mentioned that we didn't have any reportable amounts below 25 million. The 25 million established by agreement from the shareholder or the shareholder representative. Amounts recorded below 25 million for irregular expenditure totaled 49.6 million only, compared to 230.8 million in the prior year.
49.6 million is different items, not one 49.6 million.
That's 18 items.
18 items making 49 million.
That was 18 items. And then we had 13 million worth of fruits and vegetable expenditure, which was made up of 32 items compared to 17.5 million in the prior year. Losses from criminal conduct was 39.9 million, which was made up of 54 incidents, which was compared to 37.5 million in the prior year. All in all, a significant reduction in reportable PFM items, even below the 25 million level compared to the prior year. In terms of action that management takes as associated with these contraventions. From a fruitless and wasteful expenditure perspective, there were 21 disciplinary cases associated with that was concluded during the year. Losses for criminal conduct, there were 334 such cases registered as a result of mainly cable theft, of which there were 10 employee disciplinaries associated with that. In terms of the irregular expenditure, as I said, there were 18 incidents and there were 7 disciplinaries that were concluded during the year. And there are other disciplinary inquiries that are ongoing post the financial year end. Thank you.
So, Mr. Ramatlaka, in a company that has assets of 240 billion and revenue of 56 billion, these items are not considered material. So, they are not considered to be reportable. Although they may sound alarming, with 30 items of 32 million, which is about an average of 1 million each. Risk management, there was a question as to whether we have risk management. We do indeed have risk management, and we have the group executive group, Disebo Mwepudi, who is here, who can talk about our risk management structures. At the board as well as in the group executive and in the operating division.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. We have at the board level the risk committee of the board chaired by Ms. Tepes, and we sit there as management as well to give account to the board members of the risk management initiative. And then we have a risk management committee which sits all the general managers of risk at the divisions, all the operating divisions and special units, chaired by myself as the chief risk officer and my management team in head office. And then we also have risk working groups which goes to the level below the general managers, taking the specialists in the various areas of risk, covering safety, health, environment, quality, as well as enterprise-wide risk management. And yes, we have a number of initiatives that are addressing, particularly to reduce the fatalities that are experienced at the company level. Our objective and our target is to really attain the zero fatality. It's a tall order, given that you have 60,000 and growing number of employees. However, we are determined to get to that level. Initiatives such as, and let me rather mention that most of the fatalities that you see reported for last financial year are mainly as a result of car accidents, as well as non-adherence to standard operating procedures. On the standard operating procedures, we continuously enhance our awareness within the community of employees to really take precaution and really emphasize on you follow the standard operating procedures. There is no way you can cut corners and get away with it. And so there are a lot of awareness initiatives. There are a lot of empowerment of management at the supervisory level to take charge and make sure that they manage and they enforce the adherence to those standard operating procedures through what we call job observations and making sure that we really entrench that culture within the employees. On the issues around car accidents, we monitor a lot of the fleets that we run, and we continue to do driver improvement courses for the employees that their function is mainly on driving, and even define routes that should be taken, looking at the infrastructure that currently exists in the country, so that we avoid areas where they may be challenged by the number of trucks or the status of the road. And yes, we are taking very, very serious measures and serious consequence management as well, where we find that people were really reckless and negligent.
Chair, I will ask the acting chief executive for transport sector to talk about what we are doing to revitalize the railway lines that are not core, as well as to talk about what we are doing in DR in the Northern Cape.
Thank you, GCP. Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, we have a 22,000 roughly kilometer network of railways in the country, and 7,200 kilometers of it is what we call a branch line. And 4,000 kilometers of the 7,200 4,000 are operational. So the balance really is what is work in progress for us in dealing with the backlog. We have managed to open quite a number of these branch lines in recent times. We opened the Umtata Mabele line, which we refurbished. We have dealt with the branch lines in the Pietermaritzburg cluster and the Donnybrook Creighton to the south and back. We opened the line connecting the Free State and the Northwest, which is Okmefontein. We are about to open Belmont Douglas in the Northern Cape. And so it is for us work in progress, and it is premised to a large extent on market demand. That what we see is initiatives by municipalities and farming communities and those people coming to us and saying that we want the line, for example, like in the area of Ceres here in the Western Cape, we want that line reopened. You know, we are prepared to move over the fruit and all the kind of commodities that go in that area to move it over to rail. And then we put in our priority projects and refurbish that line and reopen it. We have done work in the area. I think the group chief did touch on it, which is a very important junction for railways. It was historically and also died a slow death over a period of time, and we've invested as Transnet, focusing heavily on social responsibility projects and trying to attract some of the industries into that area. So Chair, it is for us work in progress to get these benchlines, you know, back working. And yes, you know, we've got very old railways in some of the areas. They do get vandalized. And but we have a massive revitalization initiative going. Group C, if you allow me, there was also a question about diesel and electric lines. And let me deal with that as well. I think some of our lines historically were built as diesel lines, and some were built as electric lines of different voltages as well. And the neighboring railway networks are all diesel. We've got a line that goes through Upington to Namibia. You know, it's all diesel. The line through to Zimbabwe, Maputo Corridor, and so we cannot just decide to go electric alone, otherwise we become a, you know, a system that operates exclusively. And so we had to look at all our corridors and say which one stays as electric and which one needs to move over to be diesel. For instance, Palabora down to Richards Bay is diesel. You know, some of them said, okay, this one needs to be, you know, converted to be electric, but it's about corridor connectivity. That in the area we work, we want trains to be able to travel the region. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, on Sturt Freight, we do not have any programs in Sturt Freight. And I think that our nearest line passes through near Aliwal North, and may also be a branch line. So we currently do not have any activities there. The Pelotepa does not also go there. I think the nearest is Queenstown, where the Pelotepa goes, and Mtata, which is far. But the Pelotepa train is unfortunately not able to cover every single part of South Africa. We do what we can. We used to have one train, and we've now built the second train, which is I think started operation. Hopefully in time we can budget, find some money in the budget, maybe to build a third line, to the third train, to increase the reach of the Pelotepa train. We do not have the budget for the buses to bring people to the Pelotepa train, so we do not have buses that bring people to the Pelotepa train. But we will look into our CSI budget and take your recommendation into account. There was a question about investigations by the AG, but my understanding of that question was that I think it was talking more about our control environment, because we currently do not have any investigations in Transnet by the Auditor General or by the Chapter 9 institution. As far as we know, there are no investigations. I will ask the Chief Audit Executive, Ms. Sukar, to talk about the control environment at Transnet.
Thank you, Chief. Honourable members, the control environment within Transnet, as you have seen on the last slide, is rated as satisfactory on a general level. We monitor and track the findings that we get from the Auditor General as well to make sure that management addresses them.
And I will ask the Minister to talk about our long-term planning framework, as well as NDP, regional integration, our Africa strategy.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. I think the issue around regional integration, Transnet sees it as quite fundamental for both growth prospects. If we look at fundamental for us to grow our footprint into the region, and yeah, we're quite focused on how we can do that as quickly as possible.
Thank you. I also asked you to talk about the work of our committee on other sources of energy for Transnet.
Thanks, GC. We've got a Transnet currently put out a RFP into the market calling for independent power producers to submit proposals to Transnet. So essentially it was a request or call for proposals to the market, to independent power producers, to suggest innovative mechanisms to provide power to the company. We are currently considering those various submissions, looking at the options that are available to us. And I think in the broader energy space, we've also established a gas steering committee now to look at, amongst others, various energy scenarios for the country and what sort of logistics infrastructure we'd be required to have to enable the logistics system to support the new types of energy that would likely come into the market.
Thank you. And Chair, we did attend the Pakisa Ocean Labs, and we were quite an active participant there. But perhaps Mr. Murui can talk about our alignment with the Pakisa process.
Thanks, GC. We are working closely with DPE, Department of Transport, and the Presidency on addressing some of the projects that have been identified during the Operation Pakisa period. Over the next 5 years, we are looking at spending about 11.5 billion on several projects. 9.6 billion of these projects will be on the Port of Saldanha. We've set up an ongoing steering committee, again involving DPE, DOT, in terms of the implementation of these projects.
Chair, on the issue of the ratings, these are two separate rating agencies, Moody's and Standard & Poor's. So in terms of Moody's, we are rated A3 with a negative outlook. They are at pains to explain that the negative outlook is because of the environment in which we operate. I can mention here, Chair, that the A3 rating by Moody's is one notch higher than the sovereign. So we are rated one notch higher than the Republic of South Africa by Moody's, and two notches higher than the banks. So we are a state-owned entity that is rated higher than the banks from which we have to borrow money by a rating agency. Standard & Poor's is rated as BBB minus, and they say that they cannot find it in themselves to rate us higher than the sovereign in terms of their policies, so they will have to rate us in line with the sovereign. So the BBB minus stable outlook, in fact, the sovereign rating, which is also our rating. Incidentally, Chairperson, there was commentary that because from BBB minus, the next rate is the sub-investment rate, that it looks like the question was, are we concerned that we as South Africa will be rated below investment grade at some point? We do not share that sentiment, Chairperson, because the reason Standard & Poor's did a downgrade recently was because, and I think they also jumped before, they also started dancing before the drama was reaching.
research and development chair, we have budgeted 1 billion rand out of the 300 billion capital expenditure program over 7 years. 1 billion rand will be spent on research and development. In the last year under review ended on the 31st of March 2014, we had spent 100.4 million in research and development. But perhaps I can ask Mr. Richard Badehu, under whom research and development falls, to talk about some of the R&D projects that they're doing.
Thank you, GCE, Chairperson, Honourable Members. I never thought I was going to get a chance to say something to this August committee, but thank you for the opportunity. As the GCE has said, R&D is very high on our list of priorities. We've already established two world-class facilities in Pretoria at the Innovation Arc and the CSIR. And we have actively and aggressively recruited some of the best minds in the country year to date from all the universities and technical schools. Our aim and objective is through this process of procuring all this 1,000 or 300 locomotives is to build a world-class capability within the rail and port industry so that we can start to service not just our local needs in the rail and port, but also it will open the doorway into Africa as well. So we have already established many projects, also visited a lot of intellectual properties and patents, and a number of projects. One of the projects that we will be launching, it's under pilot at the moment, is our level crossing, which we have already now, it has been in operation for the last 6 months in Bushup, in Leopan. We're going to go into Mosley and Chevrones. So, Chair, the best way in which one can appreciate what we're doing at, in terms of R&D is to actually visit our two sites in the CSIR and at the Innovation Hub to see exactly what these youngsters are doing there. I think it's pretty fantastic. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Chair. I believe that takes care of all the questions.
Follow-up questions. Before we take follow-up questions, let's allow me to make an input as well.
Thank you, Chair. Just in response to Ms. Michael's question about the pension fund, and in order to ensure there's continuity in the engagement with the members of this committee over time, we've been talking about this for the past 2-3 years, that notwithstanding the litigation, the agreement we came to with the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on the steps the funds are to take are being honoured. We are implementing as we speak. The various rule amendments are in process, so that's certainly not affected at all by the litigation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Let's allow follow-up questions. Honourable Marain, Honourable Chairperson of Transport, Honourable Rancho, in that order. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I might have missed it to the CEO. My one question was the current capital rollout program in Sandana Bay Harbour. I haven't answered on that one. And then secondly, I engaged with you and with the board not long ago about the selling of a piece of land in the Sandana Bay area, and agreement was reached and the piece of land, the contract has been signed by the municipality. And 2 weeks ago, we confirmed from Transnet that the contract is now with the Minister, Lynn Brown. I have confirmation this morning it is not with her yet. Can you please follow up for me on that issue? Because somewhere, somebody is either lying or is not doing his job. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson of Transport.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Ke re ke bua ka ka ntlhala go nya tsane go tswa go fa di practical examples tsa go di go ho le sporo se se yang go go di diela se tswa le ba tlhomela ka ma ka tlhomela ba fitla
and I can count so many of these assistant leaders in the branch, which actually in the olden days there were so many people who would use these branches. I know for you it's not economically viable, but it is viable for our communities because we have to reach out in terms of transport to the rural communities, and that is what in essence we're trying to say to you. These ones which actually you really don't believe economically in them bringing money, is it not possible that we can work with the Department of Transport so that it eases off the burden economically to the rural communities, because that is where they need that the most. Because if you look at the challenges that are there in terms of taxis, in terms of buses, it is cheaper to use a train than to use a bus, than to use a taxi, than to use any other mode of transport which can be able to assist them to reach those rural places. And in essence, what I'm trying to say is, is it not possible that that can be refurbished and given to Prasa for Prasa to can be able to continue using that? Because we can talk about the road strategy of moving South Africa and reaching out to the rural community. We can talk about rural development, but for as long as there is no access and commuters are struggling, to me what it becomes a very serious challenge that you are saying to yourself, we know it is your asset. You know these assets are underutilized by yourself, but we would wish you to really consider those ones for the rural masses, for them to be able to really live on our particular personal level.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Branta?
This can offload also the load of cars on our roads. So transport will the department will not have to repair the tarred roads every now and again. They will be able to use a strategy of repairing maybe after 15 or 18 years or so on. That can be of very good help.
Sir, I've got a concern and a question. The concern that I have to person, I was not here when the development and Transnet was introduced, I was late. But I just want to raise a concern that was raised by the former Minister of Finance in his last year's budget speech. He raised an issue of cutting costs in travelling. Of this, all of everybody in the department, so that we use the money that we travel with in service delivery. I am not sure how many of the gentlemen and ladies over there that are coming from the headquarters, and how many of them that we really want to be part of the committee meeting. I am not sure, but maybe in their way of doing things, they thought of coming, all of them coming down, so as to be able to respond to questions. But I think if you are in an entity, you need to know everything that is happening around you. If you are in a human resource, you need to know a little bit what is happening in the financial department and everything, so that you cut the cost lesser than coming to Parliament from Joburg or from Cape from Pretoria to here. That's a concern that I needed to raise because it was something that was raised last year. Chairperson, my first question is, does Transnet have regional offices? We are from provinces. As much as we are not from national council, we are not National Council of Provinces house. We are all from provinces, from regions. But we would want to interact with your staff
that is working on those regions, so that we all work on the same level. Where are the regional offices, so that we are able to interact with those people in your regional offices as to work towards towards forwarding the mission and vision of government in those regions, and be able to touch to the communities at large. And also, Chair, there is in one of the responses on projects, it is said that there are many projects that are being established. What I would like to know, they are established in Pretoria only. Those many projects, are they in Pretoria only? Are they all over the country? Are we as communities able to reach those projects? Are those projects viable to communities? Are we able to see them in our communities? Or which projects are you talking about? Maybe I did not understand what when you are talking about projects, because if they are across the country or they are found in different provinces, youngsters, where the youngsters are working or are doing their trainings and whatever, can anybody from South Africa be able to access those projects for development, not for any other thing for development?
Thanks very much, Honorable Rantu. Let's mind our time, because we still have to go through our own issues as a committee before we close the trials. Honorable members, and then other groups that will follow, we will be the last, and then we will close the session.
Your problem must talk to Grant Gatsop like the program. Because the mistake which was happening in the past, a lot of departments are focused in metros only. And that means they don't respond on what they call, which is there in terms of developing our own area, which we're most underdeveloped. And then my question then will come that maybe this may be elaborate if you do have anything which is linking with your problem with corridors like SADC, because I understand there are a lot of programs which are linking you, Transnet, with SADC, because you never told us about anything. And then also, maybe, yes, that question which I raised earlier on about the issue of TTPF, that's Transnet Transport Pension Fund, and they also Transnet Second Defined Benefit Fund. Because there was an education test that if you can take us on board, that what happened, what is happening on that one?
Honourable Member, on that one we have already concluded, okay. We are not going to open it up again.
Okay. No, let me.
Okay, that's the last comment from without necessarily expecting a response from your side. From the social responsibility point of view. I understand there are quite a number of problems that we are dealing with in terms of going down to communities. I think we have to put more effort in terms, in particular in rural communities, for our people to know the kind of work that we are doing, those that intend on the lives of our people. I'm not getting a sense of the effort that we are definitely making from your side in terms of going to rural communities. The kind of
thing
that you are doing
in respect to all these problems. Thank you. CCE, are you
responding? Our capital investment in Saldana of 300 billion, 25.9 billion goes to Saldana corridor. So it will be investment in the port. Investments in port equipment, new TIPLA, in fact we've already ordered a new TIPLA for Saldana, and investments on the railway line that goes to Saldana.
if there is something, just call me directly and ask me, and perhaps I will shed light about whether or not you want to do the deal or you don't want to do the deal or what the issue is. In branch lines, I will involve.
Thank you, GCE. Honorable members and honorable chair. We have, for example, the health, the pillar paper train goes on all 9 provinces now that we have 2 trains. And there was a question to ask about buses. We have small cars that go and fetch those that are really, really in desperate need to come into the train. However, we are not providing buses because the train is oversubscribed. People come there and sleep there next to the train and stay there for days. So if we would add buses on top of that, that would be too much. And to move into other projects like the sports, we cover most of the sports courts, we cover the rural areas, especially the areas where there is no assistance. We build sports grounds, we build in the rural areas. So we cover all over across the country the areas where no much interest, there is very little of the metro, the offices that are there. So our facilities, they cover in those areas. So that is around sports. The schools that we cover the rest of the country. We look for kids in consultation with the social workers to say which kids, which orphanages are really in desperate need, and which kids that we can bring into our own system to assist. So our projects are not targeting metro areas that much. It's more than 90% is covering in the rural areas. Thank you.
Chair, as far as our operations in SADC, rail operations going to Swaziland, in fact we are building in the final stages of a feasibility study, SEL3, which is detailed engineering for the building of the Swaziland railway line that will go through Swaziland. We operate to the Maputo port through Mpumalanga, the Merozano Garcia line to the Maputo port. We are in fact during this month going to be opening a joint operations railways operations center with Mozambique. We're also opening a joint railways operations center with Zimbabwe, our trade transport goods through Musina to Zimbabwe. And in fact, they collect their goods at the border in Musina, but we have very good relations with Zimbabwe Railways, very good cooperation as well, sharing of knowledge, as well as equipment. Botswana, we transport fuel to Botswana by rail. We transport minerals out of Botswana to our ports. And in fact, Botswana bought wagons from us for their salt, to transport salt. They bought three hundred wagons were bought. They were manufactured in Utenik and were handed over. And we believe that we will be getting more orders in Mozambique. They have bought locomotives, some of our old locomotives that we refurbish, as well as wagons, are being used by the private sector operators in Mozambique. Vale, for example, has bought locomotives from us. We have sold locomotives to Malawi. Our trains go as far as Zambia, Don, in Zambia and Lusaka. So we have a very good operating relationship with southern countries. I will ask Bonisa Skonyela to talk about our efforts to popularize our CSI initiatives.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to the members of Parliament. Yes, indeed, we do agree that more could be done, but we have developed plans which we are trying to regionalize as well, by which we are making sure as a group at Transnet, we focus on telling the story, the positive news that are happening within the company. And we have noticed the comment from the member, and we will try to increase the volume as well.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think this will bring us to the end of our interaction, the first interaction with Transnet. Food for thought. When I was deployed here, I was asking myself, we will be doing an oversight on the state-owned companies or state-owned enterprises, and the department is doing the same thing. Perhaps if maybe we can agree that on your industrialization plan, which we know is aligned to the industry policy of the country, that we may zoom into specific programs in relation to skills development, job creation, and so on, so that when we say we do an oversight as a structure of parliament, which area are we agreeing ourselves? Because I'm proposing to say let's have an activist type of an approach, because this, I assume, is driven by that we have one vision, all of us, and the vision is that we need to grow the economy of the country and create jobs and also absorb the youth, which we are putting on a time bomb, that if we don't do something extraordinary, something which was never done before, this country is going to experience problems in the near future, not even long, like yesterday. So I'm just saying, put forward as colleagues, as activists, that we need to do things differently. We know you have your long-term plans, and but let's try to be proactive and identify those projects which even ourselves will be able to oversight you on, and also come up with some suggestions and ideas, because the vision, all of us, is that South Africa must be a better country. So on this note, I want to thank you very much for the elaborative presentation, and the fact that you brought everybody is an indication that you take the committee very seriously, something we really appreciate, and we have now established a relationship as a new member. For the next term, we'll be seeing each other more often, and we need to hold each other's hands and walk this road. And I want to take this opportunity again to thank the chairperson of Transport and the CEO of Brasa for coming to our meeting, and also the contributions of all members. They're also welcome to the questions, because they open up issues which we didn't know in the past, and I want to thank you very much, and fly safely. Those who are driving, they should drive safely. I don't know if lunch is arranged for the office and the toxins. I'm told there is a snack outside. Thank you.
Are they chasing you?
Members of the committee, we are remaining to finish the minutes of the last meeting.
Thank you.
Gracias.